Well, this morning I have some exciting news. We are adding people to our pastoral staff, and this is Matthias and Danielle Gren, and they are going to begin, actually they've already begun on Monday because we already traveled with us this past week, and they're going to be, Matthias is going to be leading small groups and our discipleship efforts as far as helping people connect together and grow in their relationship with God. And we're very excited for them to be part of our team. They've been attending our church already for 10 months, and so we kind of, you know, kind of tried us out and said yes, and we're like, okay, we will too. So it worked out really good. And these guys have planted churches in the Dominican Republic and in Miami, and they've also been on staff on churches in Miami, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. And so we're, again, we're so excited to have them with us. Matthias speaks five languages. And, yeah, I'm not sure why that was important for me to share, but, you know, because most Americans speak one language. But anyway, but he's from Sweden. He was born and raised in Sweden. So we have a European among us. And we will... We're going to have fun getting together and working toward God's purposes in our church. So to welcome them, I want to pray for them, and I'd like you to stretch your hands toward them today, and let's just ask God's hand to be upon their lives and God's favor as we start this new journey together. Lord, thank you so much for Matthias and Danielle. And God, we pray for them today. We pray, God, as they join our team, Lord, we pray that the favor of the Lord would be upon them and their family as they transition. We pray, God, that you would lead and guide every detail of their lives. And God, as we go forward together, serving this community and serving your purposes, we pray, God, that you would add their strength to our strength, their heart to our heart, oh God. And may, as a result, may more people know Jesus. May more people find freedom. May more people find their purpose in serving you, and so that all of us can make a difference for the kingdom of God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. 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 Put your hands together and welcome Danielle and Matthias. And Matthias is going to be bringing the word today. So one more time for the Swedish pastor.
God is good. Would you all stand with me? I would encourage you, find a place closer to someone. I'll allow you to sneak back to where you were. But this is going to bless you if you're close to someone. Everybody, raise two hands in the air. Wave them like you. No. Two hands in the air. I want everybody to move your fingers like this. Say spirit fingers. Move your hands like this. Say jazz hands. Everybody, look that way. Give your neighbor a back rub. That way. Give your neighbor a back rub. Come on, do it. Both hands. Dig in. This is going to be the best part of today. Are you guys ready? Look my way. Two hands up in the air. Say spirit fingers. Say jazz hands. Now you know what to do. Look this way. Give your neighbor a back rub. It feels good. Go deeper. Yes, yes, yes. Give yourselves a hand. Yes, you may be seated. God is good. Are you guys ready to have some fun? Church is fun. Church should be fun, right? So, I'll move some things up from the first service to this service to just change them up. I just want to say I'm so privileged, and Pastor snuck out. I'm going to imagine that he's sitting by Miss Tracy right now. She is the better part. My wife is the better part. I'll be the first one to say it. The Bible says you find a good wife, you find a good thing. Amen. But I'm so honored to serve Pastor Wayne. He's an amazing man of God. I count it a privilege. I am privileged to serve with the rest of the staff. This church has some amazing pastors and staff. I am privileged to serve all of you and to serve this community. It's an honor. Please don't hold me accountable to no names. So many people are coming up. I go, dude, I'm going to forget your name like I already did. What's your name? Let's connect on, like, social media, and I'll learn your name, that kind of stuff. So today I'm going to preach a message, and we're not going to pass out notes, so on your phones, that's cool, or write notes if you could. God is not afraid of getting his hands dirty. God is not afraid of getting his hands dirty. And we're going to go right away to a scripture that's found in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, and then I'll talk a little bit. I'm the kind of preacher, by the way, that I'll read, I'll talk. If you yell at me, I preach better. Let's practice. So if you say, for instance, like, okay, or come on, or preach it, or if you really want to get me going, preach it, white boy. One of those, things will be better for you. So let's try it out. You pick whatever you want to do, and on three, you scream it out, the best one you have, okay? Just to make me feel a little bit better. Are you guys ready? One, two, three. Preach it, white boy, was like 80%. I'm born and raised in Sweden, so yes, I can relate. Genesis 2:7 says, the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Who's ever heard that passage before? This is like second page of the Bible. Did you get that far in your Bible reading? Yes. If not, sign up for 1 year reading plan we do every year. I'm kind of ADD when I read the Bible. I ask a lot of questions, like, why dirt? Like, why not gold? Dirt has no value, right? Like, if God, you know, there's streets of gold in heaven and that kind of stuff. Like, what if God would have said, you know, he took gold and he formed man and breathed into that, or platinum, diamond, anything valuable. And God, you know, God loved God, right? He chose the foolish things, it says, to confound the wise. So he goes, I'm going for the worst one. I'm going for dirt. And then something struck me. If you take notes, write this down. Dirt is the only environment conducive for a seed to grow. Come on now, that's going to be better if you say preach it louder than that. I'm serious. I'm going to get energized. The first service is kind of early, and then people kind of start to wake up. Second service, this is when we get the people that slept in. God is good. Or the people that double dip. It's always good to double dip, by the way. Double the blessings. So I thought about this, and I brought some dirt here. Everybody say dirt. See, you guys see the dirt? Dirt. If I take a seed, and I put seed on a bar of gold, it won't work. If I take a little seed, tiny little one, and I put it on a bar of silver or a diamond, it will not work. But you put seed in ground, in dirt, some things can happen, right? A seed can sprout. Ladies, did you know that this morning as you're putting on makeup, you did that on your dirt? And we're taking pictures of dirt. And we're Instagramming and Facebooking and taking selfies off, help me out, dirt. That's what we're doing, right? I just feel like I got to do it right away in this service because you're ready for it. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Say, you are a dirt bag. Ooh, that felt good, didn't it? I sense a release. Look at the neighbor that you chose to ignore, because you picked one to look across the aisle and say, you are a dirtbag. Should we make it fair? Everybody point at me. Come on, point at me. Say, you are. Tell me. Oh, thank you. First time preaching and you're calling me that? Nah, that's not fair. But dirt is the only environment conducive for a seed to grow. And God is not afraid of getting his hands dirty. So what we're going to do today is this. I'm going to move all the way up to the New Testament. I'm going to read from John chapter 9. Then we're going to move back one chapter and go to John chapter 8. Then we're going to move all the way back and I'm going to reread the same passage I read from Genesis. I want to talk a little bit about that. Tell you a story about my son that will wrap everything up as a nice little package and it will all make sense. And then we'll leave happy. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. So we're going to look at these passages when God's hands touched dirt. And remember now, God is not afraid of getting his hands dirty. Let's look at John chapter 9, and it says this. As he went along, and he is Jesus, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now things are going to get interesting. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This means sent. So the man went, and he washed, and came home seeing. Let me see if I can make this kind of come alive, because I need for you to understand this. So could you all just close your eyes? Until I tell you to open them, keep them closed. You are now the blind person. You have never seen, and you hear about Jesus. He walked on water, he healed people, and you are standing face to face with him, but you can't see him. And all you hear is this. Everybody look up here. I'm ADD. That's okay. I read the Bible. I ask questions. How much dirt plus saliva equals mud? Inquiring minds needs to know. My answer is a whole bunch of saliva plus dirt equals mud, not just a little bit. You're the blind guy, and you feel this gooey. Who feels like lead that I do an altar call right now, and the Rafa team comes up, and no, we're not going to do that in the name of Jesus. That's not going to happen. No. Never. Some of you are like, is he crazy? That's not. No. And you feel this thing on your eyes. You hear what I try to do, and nothing happens. Did you notice? Nothing happened. Nothing happened. He was not healed. And Jesus says, hey, I want you to walk to the pool called Siloam. Siloam means sent, meaning he was sending him to the pool called sent. That's pretty cool, right? And here's the blind guy. I got to be careful that I don't fall off the stage here, but you know, he couldn't see. Perhaps he asked for help. I don't know. Write this down if you take notes. Sometimes you have to walk out your miracle. Sometimes you have to walk out your miracle. The Bible says stuff like this. Let the weak say, I am. Help me out. Louder than that. Let the weak say, I am. Yes. Let the poor say, I am. But those are oxymorons. Why? Why, if you are being prayed for, would you say, I am healed by the blood of Jesus? By his stripes, we are. We are, not will be, we are. But Pastor, I don't feel it. Walk it out. Look at your neighbor and say, walk it out. You got to sometimes take steps of faith. Can I tell you a really cool story? When I pastored in Miami, this is a number of years ago, we had this young man, his name was Chris, got saved and part of the church. I preached a message about faith. This guy would come early, stay late. He had to take a couple of buses to come to church. Sometimes it would take him 2 hours, and he was there first. He was not paid. He was part of the volunteer, but I would call him, he was part of the dream team. He was part of the team that made the dream a reality. That's what the people parking cars do around here. The people watching babies right now. They are part of the dream team, amen? The team that make everything happen. From the parking lot all the way up to the media people that stream the service right now. Yes, amen. We should give it up for all the volunteers around here. Yes, the dream team. And I preached about faith. And I did not know this, but I'm going to tell you what happened. Chris always wanted a vehicle. And his dream vehicle was a Ford F-150. So he went to Home Depot. You say, you don't buy a car at Home Depot. No, he had no money. But he said, I'd like to buy a key for a Ford F-150. I want to put it in a necklace. Kind of like Pastor Andrew always has a key hanging there. Kind of like you. Yeah. And he said, I want to believe for a vehicle before I have it. You're with me? Walk out your miracle believing. We walk by faith, not by. We walk, help me again. We walk by, not by. Yeah, so that means that sometimes you're going to say, I don't have my healing, but I'm walking it out, right? I haven't received it yet, but I'm walking it out. And somebody say, you're crazy. Yeah, because I don't walk by what we see. I walk by what I know God has said. Hello. So Chris put this key on, and they said, we don't have a key for a Ford F-150. We have a key for a Ford vehicle. And he said, whatever key fits a Ford, I'll buy that one. I didn't know this. So fast forward a couple of months, and a couple in the church called me and said, we would like to donate and buy a vehicle for someone in the church, and we thought about Chris. Would he be a good candidate for a vehicle? And I said, wow. Chris is the most faithful. He helps with media. He helps with anything. He was like a MacGyver. Anything that breaks, he could fix, right? He would jimmy-rig, like, whatever, and it worked. God bless him. And I said, if somebody would deserve a vehicle, Chris, yeah. So one day, Chris was given a vehicle. I have a picture I want to show you. Look behind me at the screen. Here is Chris standing like, I'm the man, with the vehicle that he was given. No, hold off. I told you that he had gone to Home Depot to buy a key. I didn't know this. For all these months, he walked around with a key for a vehicle. He wanted a Ford F-150. They told him, we don't have a key for a Ford F-150. We have a key, are you ready now, for a Ford Focus. Look at the picture. We have a key for a Ford Focus. And guess what kind of car he was given? The key to a Ford Focus. He carried that key for all those months, not knowing that God had the blessing coming. Amen. God might have your name on a blessing, and it's coming, but you ought to speak like it's already here. You need to believe like it's yours. You need to wear it. Come on, somebody. That's good preaching. Wear it. Believe it and speak it. We got to walk out our miracle. Well, let's go to John chapter 8, if you have an old school paper Bible. And I'm the kind of guy, by the way, let me give you some teaching here. It's better to read out of a printed Bible. Do you know why? Less distractions. There's no updates for Instagram and Facebook and email. I love technology, but I've learned that when I get in the real book, the Word of God, and I get my face in this book, not Facebook, my face in this book, good things happen, amen? And sometimes you need to disconnect. I'm helping somebody out now. You want to read the Bible, but you don't. You need to disconnect to connect with what matters. Come on, somebody. So this is what it says now in John 8, okay? So we just went back a chapter. In John chapter 9, the hand of God touches dirt plus spit, right? The hand of God. Here, you want to see the hand of God in dirt again. The teacher of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. That means that her and a man was right there, and they ripped her apart. That's what it means. The law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. I'm not talking like smoking stoned. No, it's not smoking stone here. Rocks thrown at her until she dies. And they were correct. The law of Moses said that. Now, what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. And Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and he said to them, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time,
the older first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. I love what it says now. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." This is so powerful. Notice now what happened. They bring a woman. So picture the woman standing right here. They are yelling at her. What are they yelling? "You are dirty. You are filthy. You deserve to die. You have messed up so bad that there is no purpose for you. Die, die, die. Dirt, dirt, dirt." And Jesus, he does this. Can I tell you something? When you get haters surrounding you, sometimes you need to turn your back to negativity. You need to turn your back to people that don't believe in you. You need to turn your back to the ones that criticize you and listen to what he has to say about you. Jesus did not say anything. He just turns his back and he writes in the ground. The hand of God in dirt. Now some of you are saying, okay, but that was Jesus, not God. We serve one God, right? In three distinct forms. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Yes, you with me on that? So here he is. He straightens up. And then I love how he says this. Well, the one without sin, go ahead. Did he wait for a response? No. He just goes, default mode. I have no idea what he did. Perhaps he was playing tic-tac-toe. Never play games with Jesus. Why? He always wins. That's a side note there. He always wins. I don't know what he did. If some pastor will ever tell you they know what Jesus wrote, walk out of the room because we don't know. And that doesn't matter. But what matters is he looks back up at the woman. He says, "Woman, where are your accusers?" Do you know what that tells me? As she's standing here, her posture is looking down. She's shamed. Can you picture her? How shameful it is. She could have been almost naked. How little she feels. How lonely, how vulnerable she feels. All of these emotions. She didn't realize that everybody that accused her were already gone. Little point here. If you start to hear voices from your past that are accusing you, if you're in Christ, those voices are gone. He who the Son has set free is free indeed. You might think they're still there. You might act like they're still there. But if you are a believer, those voices, they're not there anymore. The accusers are gone. You've been set free from that. And he says, "Woman, where are they?" And I think at that moment, she realized it was only her and Jesus. If you write notes, this is something that would tweet really well, okay? Or Facebook really great, okay? Use social media to reach people, by the way. Let all your friends know about church. They ought to be at Grace Assembly of God next Sunday. And when you start to brag about what God is doing here, and what an awesome pastor you have. Don't we have the most awesome pastor? Yeah. Listen here now. When you spread that word, that's free advertising. Amen? And they'll pay attention. Write this down. God does not consult your past to determine your future. He does not look at where you've been or what you have done. He looks at where you're going and he speaks to the potential in you. Do you understand one thing? That as Jesus is touching the dirt, and as most likely the people look at her like she's dirty, this is the same hand that created in Genesis. The same hands that formed and shaped man, and he took his life-giving breath and breathed. The only one without sin, are you ready, was Jesus. He could have thrown. He had the full right, but he chose not to. He says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and leave your old life." Isn't that good? So you might be here today and spiritually you don't see that well. Do you know what? Jesus is here and he would like for you to leave this place with your eyes wide open to what he has in store for you. You might be here today and you have lots of baggage. You have a lot of things that you have done. You can come in here, you can raise your hands, you can play the game, but there are things that you are ashamed of. Nobody knows it. We can play the game, can't we? But if you are real, there's some hurts and pain and baggage. And he says, I'm not going to condemn you. In fact, I'm going to love you. He is not mad at you. He is madly in love with you. Amen. So if we backtrack a little bit and go back all the way to Genesis chapter 2, I told you I would make a full circle and come back. So if you paid attention in the beginning, you know that this is towards the end. Amen. Food is calling. I feel it myself. But you know what? Spiritual food is better. Amen. Jesus said, I have food that you don't even know about. The Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. That's the hand of God shaping dirt, right? Years ago, I understood a new revelation about Genesis, and I learned this from a pastor that is now deceased. He tragically died in a plane accident a few years ago. I had a chance to sit down with him and a few other pastors. His name is Miles Monroe, very well-known pastor from Bahamas. And he opened up my eyes to this because he said, this, by the way, is not grammatically going to make sense at first, but I'll explain it to you, okay, because this will all make sense in about 2 minutes. He said this, and this is the note, when God created, he spoke to where he wanted something to come from, be sustained by, and return to. And I remember hearing and thinking, well, what do you mean? When God spoke, he spoke to where he wanted something to come from, be sustained by, and return to. So let me explain it. For instance, if you look at Genesis chapter 1:11, it says, let the land produce vegetation, etc., etc. Chapter 1, verse 20, it says, let the water teem with living creatures. Genesis 1, 24. I mean, this is like the first page of the Bible, so I'm sure in our Bible reading, we all reach this far. Let the land produce living creatures, livestock that move across the land. If you are old school and you read the King James, it will say this, let the land bring forth. So why is God speaking to the land? Why doesn't God just say, let there be cows and birds and pigs and trees? And why is God saying, let the water? Why? Because God spoke to where he wanted something to. Are you ready? Come from, be sustained by, and one day, what? Return to. Example. I have my dirt up here, right? If you could imagine a nice flower or a tree growing from the dirt is the environment, right? Where something came from. The seed is down here and up sprouts a tree or a plant. You with me? If I take that and I yank out the roots from the environment, what happens to that plant or that tree? It dies, right? And if I take that plant or tree and I drop it back on the ground, what happens? It will decompose and one day return to the environment. You with me? Does it make sense? So God spoke to where he wanted something to come from, be sustained by, and one day return to. You say, but why do you bring that up? Okay. Because of what it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And this is where you get that like, boom, wow. God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Let's stop right there. You did not catch it. Are you ready to buckle up and really say, I'm buckling up here. This is it. We're almost done. This is the good stuff. God said, let us make mankind in our image. Question, who is God speaking to? He is speaking to himself. Why? He wants you and I to know that we come from him. We are sustained by him. And one day, are you ready? We are supposed to return to him. Yeah, that's good stuff. The moment you disconnect from him, the moment you stop connecting, reading your Bible, praying, going to church, serving, have you noticed that it's a downward spiral? Somebody testify, you know what I'm talking about. You feel like, I don't know, but spiritually I feel like I disconnected and I'm starting to die. Yeah, that's why it's so important to stay connected to God. That's why, listen, that's why next Sunday, a whole bunch of you, I'm speaking, Pastor, you better preach, say preach now because this is it. A whole bunch of you will go to the 9 o'clock service and then go to Growth Track for the first time. And I don't care if you've been plugged in here for a long time. If you have not taken the Growth Track, you need to be there to follow Pastor's vision and be planted in this house. I'm preaching now. And I'll go as far as say this. If you've been here for a long period of time, shame on you. I can say that, Pastor can't, but we need to have the DNA that God has placed in Pastor. You need to discover the purpose for which God gave you. And you learn that in Growth Track. You find out who you are. What an amazing thing. And you don't pay a dollar for it. We should charge money for this. It's good stuff. So next week, 101. You come to first service, start to do Growth Track. It's only 4 weeks. It's the greatest investment ever. That's some good advertising right there. I'm amening myself. Listen, I'm new here. I'm taking Growth Track as a staff member. I don't have an option. Do I? No, okay. I want to take the Growth Track because I get to be in an awesome presence of Pastor Tim. How great of a pastor is Pastor Tim? What a heart he has, right? We get to hang out with him. It can't be better. Honestly, even if Pastor had never told me I should take it, I would have said, could I please skip a service? I need to understand the DNA. I'm not here to serve myself. I'm serving Pastor. I'm lifting his hands. That's what we all are doing, amen? He is serving God. We're serving our pastor. This is the house of God, amen? We need to be on the same page. Very important. Preach it, yeah. Amen. I could stop there and do an altar call. That's good stuff. So we looked at three things. We looked at how God created and took his hands, right, and he created man. We went to John, and we looked at the guy that got sight back. Perhaps God wants to give you spiritual sight today. We looked at the woman with a lot of baggage. And do you know what? Jesus did not condemn her. He loved her. He spoke to the purpose and the image. You understand that we are created in the image of God. Always speak to the purpose and image that's in somebody. I don't care how far gone they are. If they're still alive, there's still hope. Amen. If you're not dead, God is not done. You got to understand that you speak to people's potential and the image of God. And Jesus modeled that for us. But the best way I can explain to you how God is not afraid of getting his hands dirty is to tell a story about my son. I have three kids. John is my oldest. He's 16. By the way, I cleared this with him. I said, can Daddy use this example? John said, Daddy, as long as you preach your heart out and make it good. That's my son right there. Preach it, white boy. Yeah. He said, do it. Preach like you never preached. I go, oh, you got me. I'll do that for you. But we have John. He's 16. We have Elizabeth, EB, we call it for short, EMB. EB, Elizabeth, she's 13. And we have Anna. She is 10. Very easy to remember, 3 years apart. They're all sitting up here. So after service, would love for you guys to come up and say hi to me, my wife, and get to know you and all that stuff. But at this point, John was like between 2 and 3. He was in a pull-up training diaper because he was being potty trained. Any moms or dads in the house, you know what I'm talking about. Those dreaded years when they got to learn. Yes, some people are smiling like, yeah, we got some stories. So at this point, we were in Miami. And we were traveling to central part of Florida. I was supposed to preach for a weekend retreat, a youth retreat. With us in the car was, I was driving, my wife Danielle up front. In the back seat was John in a car seat and a guy named Tim, his worship leader, worship pastor. And we were driving on a turnpike in Florida. We're heading towards Fort Pierce, which is 2 hours north of Miami. And my son John started to whine that he needed to go potty. And the whining got stronger, and my wife was like, just hold it. 10, 15 more minutes, we're going to be there. Just hold it, son. And he's like, Mommy, I can't. And she's like, yes, you can. You know, as parents, you all think that us pastors, we live in these white-painted rooms, halo over our head. All these like, hallelujah. And then we go out in the real world. No, dude. We live real lives. Somebody came to my house once. He's like, you have a TV? I'm like, I have a couple of them. This one is 70 inches, dude. 70. And watching football on that thing is like real. And if you come and watch UFC with me, we are. And he's like, but we live real lives. We have real issues. We deal with stuff like kids that are whining and complaining. And he was like, and finally my wife said, you know, we were 10 minutes away from the Fort Pierce, Vero Beach rest stop. And she said, Johnny is going to diaper. Bad choice. Everybody go, uh-oh. He had the most explosive diarrhea. I'm sorry to be real, but you told me we can't be real in here. I'm talking, it pushed all the way down to his knees and all the way up to his neck as he was sitting in that tight, buckled car seat. And the stench was, God in heaven, I feel it. I gotta preach like this because I can almost like, you know when something comes back to you? Yeah, like that. It's bad. Somebody's like, I rebuke him in the name of Jesus. I'm gonna have dreams about this. No. So, it was so bad, we're rolling down the windows. I'm thinking, I lost the worship leader. He's never gonna be with us anymore. He's gone. You know, and Danielle, I don't know. We got there to the rest plaza and we gotta strip him naked. And there's literally like stuff going up to his neck, to the hair, and down to his knees. He's butt naked at this point. I'm holding him like this. And Danielle and Pastor Tim, they're trying to like rip off these clothes and throw them in the garbage because I told them, like, this is a lost cause. Dump the clothing. Dump it. It's gone in the name of Jesus. Find a garbage can. I'm like in Spanish, basura, basura, basura. And I take my son, John, like this. He's crying and screaming. Now I know why Moses and how he parted the Red Sea. Because all these people that were in this room as I walk in, there is like hundreds and hundreds of people. All of a sudden, it's like this. And me. And John just screaming, his eyes, tears, poop everywhere. I walk into the restroom. There's like all of these sinks, you know, like 20 of them or whatever. And I just put them in a sink. People looking at me like, this guy is nuts. All of a sudden, I'm all alone in the restroom. Thank you, Jesus. VIP in the restroom. And I have one of these, you know, that nasty sink things in the public restrooms that you swipe the hand and you get a little bit of water, but it's never enough? What's up with that? So I'm cleaning him and he's screaming, he's crying. I do this for a long time. And finally, he's there naked and clean, right? And I used my hand. I didn't care. And I just take him and I'm like, boom, like hold him. And he's naked and he's crying. I'm saying, Daddy's got you, John. Daddy's got you. Don't worry about this. It's going to be okay. Daddy's got you. Don't worry. I love you, son. You're doing good. I don't care what nobody says. You're my son. I'm going to hold on to you. And you listen to this story and you say, I would have never done that to him. I would have never cleaned him off. Do you know why? It's not your son. It's not your son. It's not your son. But he's my son. He's my son. I'm not afraid of his mess. I'm not, are you ready? I'm not afraid to get my hands dirty. I'm not afraid of anything he's ever done. I don't care what it is. He is my son. I'm his dad. And I love him. And you know what? I hope you're connecting the dots now. Because God is not afraid to get his hands dirty. And there's a God in heaven who's looking down at you today, my friend. You have gone through some things that perhaps not your husband or wife don't know. Back in your teenage years or something that happened last night. You say, God would not love me. How could God ever? Not me. But I'm here to tell you something from my heart to yours. He is your Father. He's not afraid of anything you ever done or said. He wants to love on you today. He wants you to be in relationship with him today to make it real that if you knew that you died this afternoon, you would say without a shadow of a doubt, I am going to be with my daddy. There might be somebody in this room, you're saying, I don't know, I'm not that confident like you are. You need to be 100% sure today. I don't want to play games. I don't know if I'll make it home. You don't either. I don't mean to scare you. The reality is, I'm not promised tomorrow. Are you right with him? I want you, everybody, right now, right where you're at, just out of respect for everybody, close your eyes. You're in this room, you say, I don't know that if I were to die today, without a shadow of a doubt, You're a believer in this room. You're praying right now. You're interceding. But you say, I don't know that I would. I think. No, no, no. You need to say, I know. And there's a God in heaven that loves you more than you will ever find out. In fact, I don't even think I know. But you say, I would love to connect with Him today and get right with Him. If that's you, I'm going to ask you in just 10 seconds to raise your hand to show me that you say, I want Jesus. He loves you. All eyes closed. I already see two hands up. I have not even asked for it yet. Believers, pray, 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 pray. God is about to do something amazing. I see three hands up. I have not asked for it yet. If you say, I need to connect with Him today and make it real, raise your hands right now all over this room. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I see you, sir. Thank you. I'm proud of you, ma'am, in the second row. I'm proud of you, ma'am, down there. I'm proud of you in the back. I'm proud of the two people sitting up front raising their hands. All the way in the back, there are three hands. I love it. I see you, sir. God loves you. 15, 20 hands up in this room. You can bring them down. I want you to look at me. There's a party in heaven right now. One sinner party. What happens when, I think 18 or 20 fingers, hands, three people before I even said it, sat like this. He loves you tremendously. More than you'll ever understand, He loves you. There's one thing to pray a prayer, and we will, but I need to tell you what I want you to do. You need to take a next step. We have a tent out in the foyer. It says next steps. If you have not been baptized, the next step for you is to be baptized. All you do after service, you bolt back there. It says next steps in the hub. You sign up. I'll call you this week. I will personally connect with you. Perhaps you have questions about the faith or, okay, I'm a new believer. I need a Bible. You get it back there, next steps table. We give you for free. How good, how awesome of a church is this that we give resources for free because there are faithful people that give so that we can bless people. Isn't that amazing? We want to give you a book, what it means to take those next steps. But you need to take the step. It's one thing raising your hand, but I need you to know that we are here to support you as a family. We are here to cheer you on. And before I move on with altar call, I would want everybody, could we pray together and join in with those that raise their hands? I will say an easy, quick prayer, and you will just repeat it after me. Can we do that? Could we just close our eyes and say this out loud? Say, Jesus, right here and right now, I declare in my heart, I believe in you, that you died for me, that you are alive today. I invite you into my heart. With my mouth, I confess. I declare, I am saved. I am changed. I am new. Would you all give a big hand to everybody that prayed that prayer for the very first time? Yes. Yes, louder! Yes! Listen. First service, we easily had 14 to 16 people that raised their hands. About 6 or 7 people that signed up for baptism. We're doing baptisms. Again. I love it. You go to that table and you sign up. Next steps. But can I have our prayer teams to come, pastors, prayer team leaders, you know who you are. Could you come and fan out throughout this auditorium? Because there's people in here, you need to take a next step. Remember what I said? You need to walk out your miracle. Walk it out. You need to understand that God does not hold your past against your future. You need to understand that even though you and I are nothing but dirt, dirt is the only material. And I want you to look up here before you walk up. You remember, I brought this dirt, right? But what you did not see is that if I put my hands in here and I start to dig out a little bit, and I'm making a mess, but I'm sure somebody will clean it up. Look what's inside of the dirt. Gift. Guess what God placed inside of you and I? Gifts. If you would allow Him today to reach into you, and you say, but there's nothing in me. Oh, yes, there is. I have nothing to offer. Yes, you do. if you allow the master's hand to touch that dirt. Some of you for the first time, would you stand up? Some of you for the very first time today will say, I've never done this. I would love to meet you up here and give you a hug myself. But you need to respond to what I've been saying today. I want you, as soon as Pastor Steve sings the first word, make a way up to one of these prayer partners. I'll be right down here. Would love to give you a high five, love to give you a hug, and say, you know what, I love you and I'm proud of you, but there's somebody in heaven, your Father. He's not afraid of your dirt. He loves you. Amen? Amen. As soon as he sings, now you come forward. You come, you come, you come.
Thinking of when I rose from the grave, and now rid of
A.W. Tozer said, what comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. And today, from God's Word, we have this amazing picture of God. A God who takes dirt and breathes life into it. A God who takes our mess and cleans us up. A God who loves us. I love it. The enemy works so hard to get us to have a different picture of God. A God who doesn't care. A God who is out there to hurt us, pound us on the head. Years ago, as we were deciding and praying about what's going to be the name of this church, God gave me one word. That word is grace. And you say, why? There's some cooler names of churches. But there's a reason why. Because grace is our testimony. Were you here last week? Grace is our testimony. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And you know what? Grace is our message. The grace of God, the kindness of God, the love of God. And that's worth singing about. That's worth being excited about. That's worth getting involved in God's family about because of the amazing grace of God. Amen? Would you just take a moment and would you, right where you're standing, would you just say, Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your love. Would you do it right where you're standing? Would you respond to this message and say, God, I thank you that you loved me when I was a mess. I thank you, God, that you breathe life into me. I thank you for hope and strength and power and mercy. God, I know I don't deserve it, but that's what grace is. It's the unmerited favor of God. And every good thing in my life, you gave it to me, Lord. Somebody needs to hear that today. Every good thing in your life comes from God. Thank you, Jesus. Would you give God praise for this message that you heard here today? Amen. Thank you so much. I believe that God has positioned all of us to enter into an incredible season in these next few weeks and few months and honestly these next few years. And I want you to be part of it. And I think it's going to begin next Sunday. So I want to encourage you to bring as many people as you can to church. And let's believe that God's going to start the school year off with our students super strong and powerful in the name of Jesus. I want to encourage you, guys, join Fight Club. Sign up for divorce care if you know somebody that would be encouraged by that. Parents, Junior Bible Quiz. It's an amazing tool to help your kids be a disciple of Jesus. And so before you leave today, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord make and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you in Jesus' name. Go with God. We love you. Have a great day.